After trailing 2-0 after two losses in Carolina, the Rangers have come back to tie this series up after an incredible 4-1 victory at the Garden on Tuesday night. Can the Blue Shirts win this thing in six? We are joined by special guest co-host, former Rangers captain and MSG Network and ESPN Radio New York Rangers analyst, friend of the program, Dave Maloney. It's Dave. It's Ron Duguay. It's Jake Brown. It's Andrew Hartz. Coming up next on Up in the Blue Seats from the New York Post.
Pop up high. Cross slice. They score! Room for Lindgren. Top of the circle and he scores! For the trailing Lindgren, it gets behind Raja and Zibanejad scores! Here's a chance for New York and they score! And the lead back to three. It's 4-1.
Let's go, Rangers!
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats podcast, our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. That montage you heard courtesy of ESPN. A huge 4-1 victory. This thing is going back to North Carolina, all tied up at two. The Rangers got the job done at home yet again, and we're here to talk about it. Molly Walker, unable to do the show today. Busy woman, traveling all over the globe with this team right now. But joining me, Jake Brown, Rangers great, Ron Duguay, Andrew Hartz, friend of the program, Ranger great, the youngest captain in Rangers history. You hear him on MSG Network. You hear him on 98.7 FM ESPN Radio calling these games. Let's welcome back Dave Maloney. Dave, welcome back. The Continental Fine Wine star. Dave from Continental Fine Wines. Dave from the Rangers. What a game, huh? You were there. I was there. Ron and Andrew watching. This team is electric and the Garden was rocking again.
Yeah, I do. And I've commended the Garden all through the season. They've done a wonderful job of energizing that building. I mean, you know, on the days that we played and through, you know, there was electric, but there's a lot of stuff going on. And then this team's been fun to watch. They really have been. This has been a great story. You know, we've talked about it over the course of the season, how not a lot of people believed in, you know, this team early in the season. And they've come along, but they just, you got to love the way they play. You love what you hear from the coach. He's just an old school guy that expects their players to be honest and work hard. I think he keeps it pretty simple. And I love what Lindgren did at the end of game three when Domi whacked him and he didn't think for one second, but he was going back. And then last night, that kind of spilled over when Trouba hit Domi. And what I loved about that sequence was they got it right. How many times do we see this season where Trouba has hit someone in an illegal check and has had to defend himself and there have been no instigator call? So last night they got it right. The Rangers scored in the power play and they went from there. So there's no question. It's a wonderful time of the year and the Rangers are playing well. They're exciting to watch and it's an electric building.
So Dave, when you mentioned Coach Gallant, you followed him through the course of the season. You had a good feel for how he's getting the best out of these players, his technique. Are you seeing anything different in what you're seeing in him in the playoffs? Because it was an untested thing. He's got a lot of young players. He's having, you know, coaches have to make changes. And have you liked some of the changes he's made, how he's handling? It's been difficult. It has been easy, especially when you go through the series against Pittsburgh. It was a team that was very inconsistent. You didn't know from one game to another what we were going to see on the ice. So now I think we're seeing a little more consistency, and you got to believe a lot of that comes from the coaching staff. Are you seeing a little something different, Coach Gallant?
Not so much, Duke. I think the things that have been impressive about him, and I do, if I've told this story to you before, forgive me, but you know, he was asked his first day at camp if he had visited with any of the players in the summertime. And he said, no, I'll get to know them come camp. I really don't know. I've watched video. And just in any interview you hear from him or his staff. So when I'm on the sidelines for television, I interview a coach between the second and third period. And I've never heard them look back in criticism. It's always what they've done, learn from what they've done, and next shift, next period, next game. And that's been a consistency right from day one. And also like what you hear from, you know, every coach, I think, has its time, right? His time. Like Tortorella came in after Tom Rennie, Then they needed Vigneault, was a little less barking. And Vigneault kind of drifted. And you get David Quinn, who had a young group and was really hands-on. Now this younger group is a little bit older. Their top players are a little bit older, and they don't need the hands-on manager. You know, he just expects them to play hard. It's so simple when you listen to him talk. So do I answer your question? You know, I was a little surprised when Kako got bumped last night for Mott. I think Kako just needs the minutes, but they can't find minutes for him. He's, you know, Lafreniere and Hedl have done a nice job. They just can't find the minutes for Kako. I think he's played well, but that worked. I mean, Mott was quick on that line. And then it was an interesting one. He bag skated them after game four in Pittsburgh. And I remember, you know, thinking, wow, I mean, I don't think I've ever heard that, you know, at this time of the year. And yet, you know, they come back and win three straight. So he's really, really old school, but he's not a barker. You talk to him. He's a, you know, he's a family guy. He's a quieter guy. You didn't play with him, dude. Did he come after you?
No, we played together 2 years in Detroit.
Well, Detroit, right?
Yeah. So I was there when he came in as a rookie.
Right. Well, I loved it when, you know, sadly enough, it was the result of Bossy and Gillies passing away. But his comment was he grew up in PEI, Prince Edward Island, and the Islanders were happened to be his favorite team. And when asked about the situation, and he said, I grew up an Islander fan. He said, I wanted to pass the puck like Trottier. I wanted to score like Bossy, and I wanted to fight like Gillies. And I thought that was so cool. I remember him. I didn't play against him. But he was, you know, he's a pretty rugged, hard-nosed player. Could score a little bit.
Mention of fighting, Ron, I'd love to get your reaction to the hit. I mean, Trouba, he didn't just hit Dome. He just absolutely leveled him. And the Garden was in love with it. What did you think of the hit? Legal? Did you like it? Was it the message that kind of needed to be sent to Domi after the end of the last game, Ron?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure they were told before the game, if the opportunity is there, go after it. Otherwise, don't chase it. Right. Because we have to concentrate on playing our game and not be so focused on the other team. So sure enough, the opportunity was there. I mean, Domi had his head down, a little off balance, and Trouba being Trouba, he sensed that there was an opportunity. He goes after it. Now, it looked worse than what it was. Domi slides and part of the hit goes, you know, on his chin and his head. But the officials did the right thing. There was a good call. That could have really changed things around if it would have been a bad call. It was a good call. It was legal. And I like how Max handled it. He said, okay, good. He got me back, right? So Domi didn't get all goofy and crazy. And I'm surprised they even put him on the ice towards the end because it allowed the Rangers to go after him, which Reeves did. So that's a part of the game that we love. I love hit and get hit without the goofy fighting. And so we're seeing that, and it's very entertaining. It's good for the fans. So I think it was a good non-call. I believe, Dave, you feel the same.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I don't know if you continue to follow through. So he hits Domi, and in comes Lorenz. And I'm telling you, Trouba got the stick up, and I'll tell you, Lorenz got a mouthful of composite. That's totally old school. Then he comes in, and then Trouba finishes off with a couple of rights down when he got him down. So I just thought the whole sequence – I just love the fact after when Lindgren got hit right away at the end of game three, went after him. You know, we listened to this play whistle to whistle and, you know, okay, I get it. But sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And listen, like I said, I was a lot braver as a radio guy when they signed Reeves myself. So, you know, but no, but it does come back to the coach. I don't know how verbal he is, but there's been enough character in that room to kind of set the right pace when it comes to being, you know, you can't be turning your cheek all the time. So I thought the hit was awesome. I thought it was, and I loved even more how he protected himself when Lorenz came in and then when it got him down and knocked him a couple more times. So Carolina wants to play that type of game, which they just don't have it. They don't have the personnel to play that type of game. So the Rangers, you know, if it's there, it's there. It's a little bit like the Islanders, right? When the Islanders felt like, you know, they had to kind of get down to business and get physical, they could. if they'd rather play. That's what I got the impression is. And, you know, the Rangers would all rather play. But if you want to get after one another, I don't think they have a problem with that.
So, Dave, would it be safe to say, because I know you and I know the type of player you were, there's certain players you really appreciate. Would Lindgren be that guy, the way he plays? He's mucking it up. He's giving it. He's taking it. Every game, I think he's got a cut. He's bleeding. He's got that look on his face. He looks like a caveman. I got to believe he's one of your favorites out there.
No question. And we had this discussion earlier on one of your shows, dude, and Brownie, the captain's role. And he was my guy. I'm surprised he's not one of the alternates to kind of be a voice for the younger group. And I remember doing it at the draft of the Kako draft. They brought in Lindgren. They brought in Hayek. They brought in Hedel, Howden. And, you know, we had John Gianon and I had a little interview session with him, and they all deferred to Lindgren. He just has that kind of presence. And again, and I remember saying to him at one time, boy, oh boy, you could have played in our generation. And he kind of looked and I said, that's a compliment. Believe me, that's a total compliment. You know, he's just terrific influence, terrific. And he and Fox, he works so well with Fox, and Fox works better with him. They're both better together than they are apart as a defensive unit. And they bring aspects. One is the one guy gets the puck. The other guy is either the first out or the last out. But they position themselves appropriately that they are that. You know, he's been great. I absolutely love Ryan Lindgren. It's terrific.
Ron and Dave, you guys both kind of mentioned it. The incident that happened at the end of game four, where Ryan Reeves essentially went after Max and just kind of set him straight, essentially. You saw him, he kind of, you know, hit him with the stick. He kind of roughed him around a little bit. Was that kind of the end of the Max Domi situation for the series? Is that over now? Has that been resolved after the Trouba hit? Is that done, or is there a chance that we'll see that spill over and this is going to keep going on for the rest of the series here?
Well, you know what? A follow-up to that, and I'm going to pass this on to Dave. And the question I was going to ask you, with the way things are right now, the Rangers even things up playing a certain way. Do you feel because of that, because the Rangers showed their strength, they show they can score. Moving forward, do you think now Carolina are sitting back a little bit on their heels? A statement has been made. And if they feel like they're going to get physical, there's going to be some pushback.
Here's the thing with Carolina. Carolina is a big, fast, relentless team. So I was on the sidelines for the two games at the end of the season when they came in, right? And right from the bell to the final bell, they were relentless. 12 forwards and 6 defensemen, all hard, hard, hard. But now when you watch them, they don't create an awful lot off of their hard physical play. And if you can just match them, like, and which the Rangers have done a tremendous job 5-on-5, right? They're the two best teams in the regular season in goals against. So they can both defend. And I just think if you are willing to do those little things, battle on the boards when their defensemen pinch down, if you're a winger, do you at least nullify the defenseman? Or can you chip it out? Let alone can you make a play and catch them going the other way on an odd man rush. So I just think the longer you watch this thing, Svechnikov hasn't done anything. Aho's been their most valuable player. I think he's, you know, what have they scored? They've scored 6 goals, 7 goals, whatever. He's got like 5 points. Other than that, you admire the way they work. They're going to play the same way. They're not going to be fighting. They're really not. They're going to play hard. And I just think the Rangers have done a wonderful job 5-on-5. So to answer me, the carryover, I don't know that it's to Carolina's benefit to do that. I don't think it's in their game. And the Rangers now can continue to kind of play with that swagger that, you know, all right. I loved too when it was in the third period when Reeves grabbed a hold of D'Angelo.
Oh, and the crowd loved that too. The crowd, the Tony sucks chants came out very loud at the Garden.
Yeah. You know, he just grabbed a hold of him because I think he expressed a little remorse between games 3 and 4, did Reeves, for paying a little too much attention to what Lindgren was doing and not what D'Angelo and the coach had going on. So Carolina, third best record in the league. I think what you're seeing now would be interesting whether Anderson will come in, because once again, I think the longer it goes, you kind of get exposed with Raanta. From my standpoint, I just don't know how much Carolina creates off the relentless play. Then can somebody make a play? That's the question. I just have been impressed because the Rangers have a number of guys who will hang in there, fight and battle, and then make a play.
That second period play, I mean, that is a game-changing play. Because listen, Lorenz gets 2 minutes for instigating. He gets 5 for fighting. and he gets a 10-minute misconduct. So he's out of there sitting in the box. I hope they had like some margaritas in there for him or something. He was in there for like an hour, it felt like. And, you know, Trouba got the 5 minutes for fighting the power play goal. And then the second goal, I mean, Chris Kreider, not only does he just score his goals, he's, you know, auditioning to play in the MLS. I mean, he kicks a puck, keeps it alive, Dave. And that leads to, you know, the goal. That was incredible. The fact that he kept it alive, he loses his stick and it makes it a 2-0 game. And that lights up the Garden. That is a heads up and aware play from a savvy vet who should probably be joining you in wearing the C next season.
Yeah, a couple of things. Kreider, although Kopp made a wonderful play on the boards and then it gets it over to Lindgren and Fox deflects it. But again, going back to the first two games, you really had really a non-participation from Chris Kreider, Mika Zibanejad, Artemi Panarin, and even Adam Fox to a certain degree. You aren't going anywhere without your top players driving the show or at least contributing. And you hope your depth fills in, right? So Kreider makes a good play, kicks it up, keeps the play alive, and Kopp makes a wonderful pass across once again, and now you're up 2-0. So I just think that, you know, that the Rangers, again, played well enough in games 1 and 2. That's the thing that I think you've got to be confident from a team standpoint. And when we're watching, is they played well enough to get at least one game in Carolina. It'll be interesting to see as this thing moves on.
Area of improvement for the Rangers, because we want them to go into Carolina and find a way to win. Strom, Panarin, they're just not, we're not seeing their A game. Would it be wise to possibly make a change, switching out Zibanejad and Strom with Panarin? Because Zibanejad is playing well, but Strom and Panarin, they're just not clicking. Could you see that type of change moving forward, or you just stick with it?
Well, to me, it's not so much if you move him, then what does that do to Kreider and Vetrano? I think by and large, see, the issue with, from my observation with Panarin rarely drives the offensive zone, right? He's going to come in, and we saw this coming down at the end of the season, and he's going to pull up, and he buys himself a little time for the guys who are coming in support or wide. But when you're playing a same team every other night and you get into a series, now they're on to him, right? And they're on to him, and they don't give him quite as much. He hasn't got nearly the space that he has in the regular season. And that's what happens in a smaller game. So to me, you know, you do need more from Ryan Strome. You need more. But I just wonder if you make that switch, Ron, whether you compromise then Kreider and Vetrano. I'm not sure. And then the things that Hedl has been terrific. That's been a real eye-opener, right? So he can move up in the wing. He can play in the middle. So the key is for that group, for Strome and Panarin's line, is to play even 5-on-5. And then the two of them go to work in the power play, you know, and be a factor that way, more in the power play. But they've got to hold their own 5-on-5. It'll be interesting because really, if you're switching things around, I always think, if you're winning, why bother switching things around? Now, they've made a couple of minor tweaks, but usually if you're switching things around, Carolina switched things around after the first two periods in game one, moves Fetchnikoff up, move guys around because they were being badly outplayed. But they've been consistent since then. And, you know, the games have been that close. It hasn't, you know, there's not a great degree of separation. So personally, I think you just leave it alone and take your chances. And if there's drastic changes, then it means that things aren't going well.
So, Dave, I'm going to ask you this because I, you know, we've both played the game and there's certain things that we can spot that we think there could be some change. Because there's that elimination of the red line, these long stretch passes, I see so much of it. And you as a defenseman, when you see that, I personally feel when I'm watching the Rangers, they're constantly looking for that stretch pass. Now, that stretch pass sometimes is to a player. He tips it. It goes in. Now you go in and on your forecheck. But to me, often I see it as a giveaway because often you tip it down and then Carolina has the puck. Now they have control. Yes, they're defending in their end, but they have control. I would prefer to see the players be a little tighter like we used to do, go up as a unit of five, more give and goes. too often a defenseman feels like he's got to move it up. He just gives it away when his defense partner is wide open, right? So do you see that? Do you spot that as a defenseman?
Yeah, no, I you do see it a lot, but that's it's interesting because all teams look for the stretch pass. You know, that's just the way I think the game is played now. Now it's coached because there are a number of issues when you watch the game where you go, why in the world is there so much chaos in your own end? You know, like puck pursuit, going after people and this, that. If you're in your own end, they're eventually coming to the net. So you've got to protect there. So the same thing with the stretch. I just think that that's the way it's coached that way in elite youth now. USA Hockey has a certain player that they want to play. And I guess what I don't like happening is even if you do, and then you look for that pass from inside your blue line and hoping that your guy tips it, because then it becomes the play stays alive. But a lot of times he misses it. So you go from possession to kind of a bit of hit and hope play. Now you got to defend a defensive zone faceoff. So those are little few things. See, Lindgren and Fox work really. The other two guys do too, though. Fox and Truba, Truba and Miller. They do a little better job of kind of holding the puck and making sure there is some support. But the longer it goes, there's less support. And you're like, okay, now, and a lot of times it does end up either turn the puck over and now you're defending a defensive zone faceoff. But all the teams play that way. And I just think that for whatever reason, is another thing that for those of us who, you know, you come out as five, you have support around the puck in your own end, and then you get to the middle of the ice. See, that's what I liked about Herbie's system. You come out as a set, and if it wasn't there, you bump it back. You know, you bump it back and keep possession. But it's just different time, different animal. And I just think that most teams play that way. They just think that gives them more time and space, I suppose.
So the storyline that we're seeing now, though, especially with Carolina, is that they haven't won a playoff game on the road and they're undefeated at home. So Dave, what do the Rangers need to do to essentially break that streak at this point? Obviously went into a tough arena in Pittsburgh, managed to win there. What do they need to do to knock Carolina off their undefeated streak at home and able to at least take it back to game six and try to, you know, wrap this thing up at home at the Garden?
You know, I honestly have no issues with the first two games. If you get beat by Ian Cole on a deflection in overtime and you get beat by Brandon Smith on a shorthanded goal, that's like, we lost to Kenny Morrow, you know, in game five. It's just fate, right? Like I said that during the telecast, and I've said it over the years, like Kenny Morrow, like, you know, a hell of a defenseman, but he gets the goal in overtime. And it's Ian Cole, who's had two goals in his whole life, I think. So that to me is just fate. You know, you go back to game one, it's a 1-0 game with less than 4 minutes to play. And Aho makes a great play on Shesterkin. And then it's a deflection. And it's really a nothing-nothing game well into the second period, and you give up a shorthanded goal on a 4-minute power play. It's that close. And that's what I said before. I think if I'm that Ranger room or that Ranger coach who said we played, and I do believe they played well enough to get at least one win. Just keep playing. Play hard 5-on-5. Your goaltender seems to have very quickly figured out what happened in Pittsburgh. And he's going to be there to make the save. And if you get a chance in the special teams, penalty killing's been great. Carolina hasn't scored. I don't think they have to change anything. Just continue to play and match the relentless play with which Carolina needs to play with, because they don't create an awful lot for the amount of energy they expend hounding and grinding.
Give us an idea. What your gut feeling moving forward, your prediction on what you think, how you think this is going to end with what you're seeing and what you're feeling, because you're so close to the game. What do you think is going to happen?
I think they win tomorrow night and win in six. I do.
Let's go. Yeah.
There's my prediction right there.
And I'm not really, I really don't. If I don't think that's the case, then I wouldn't say that. But I just think it's going to be, if they can just maintain really how they played, and I don't see any reason why they wouldn't, if it doesn't happen and they play the same game and Shesterkin gives them what we know he's going to give them, then it's just fate. You know, it just wasn't meant to be. But I really like their chances. I really like their chances. They're not intimidated by the raucous crowd in Carolina. They've held their own 5-on-5. That's important because most of the game is played 5-on-5. And I remember, when Fergie, when we made that first playoff against Buffalo, and I remember his first meeting, and Fergie had won five cups, and he said, it's playoff time, it's goaltending and special teams. Well, if you look at how that's played out, that's where the Rangers have won and been competitive in the first four games. So, you know, again, obviously, I hope that that's true. I don't want to be wrong in this one, but that's how I look at it. The win tomorrow night in Carolina and win at home against
six. It took us 20 minutes, guys. We finally mentioned Shesterkin. I mean, this guy has come alive this series. He's been dominant. You know, he struggled a bit in Pittsburgh, turned it around, but he's been absolutely sensational. He's made some unbelievable saves in this series. And, you know, we talked about this on the pod, you know, last week. We're saying the Carolina fans, Dave, aren't as bad as the Pittsburgh fans towards Igor. You didn't have the Igor chance down there, Carolina. So we need that Southern hospitality to continue for our goaltender so they don't heckle him in game five. And this, then your prediction could come true. I think it's going to go seven. I'm going to be in Charlotte on Monday. So I'm going to, I think, make the drive to Raleigh and go to game seven if it happens. Tickets are a little bit cheaper than they are here in New York City. It's the Southern hospitality ticket pricing as well.
Although you might have to get somebody in the area code to or zip code to buy the ticket because they are pretty adamant about having Ranger fans in there. But it's all good stuff. It's playoff hockey, and the Rangers have been fun all year to watch. And it's a really great group of guys. You really like what you hear from the coaching staff. So that's why you play them. You go up and if you're going to play it, you might as well win.
What's your prediction? Hearts in six, Dave in six, me in seven. What do you got?
I'm going to seven. Seven, game seven. Absolutely.
All right, Rangers in seven. All right, you went from Dave training young Rangers like Ron DeGay to training new workers at the Continental Fine Wines.
Continental Fine Wines, yeah.
We deserve a referral. Apparently, you said there was a customer who heard the podcast and came in to say hello to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Came down here. His wife came down from Newtown, Connecticut, which is about, you know, about an hour drive. And he's kind of lurking around. And it was good. It was good. And he said, heard it on the podcast with Doug and Molly, and good stuff. So it's all fun. And I had nothing to do with Doug's success as a player and his off-ice stuff, too. So I had nothing to do with that. He came loaded for bear on both areas.
And so, Dave, when you said about Fergie came in, said goaltending and power play, and by the way, Dukes, can you just get home at a reasonable hour?
Yeah, those are the days where it was a badge of honor to play hurt. So, you know, but it was all good stuff, and I can't help but think that how quickly time has gone by, and we're still kind of plugging away at this game in a different capacity. So it's all good stuff.
Did you guys party after playoff wins? Like a win like last night, maybe the Rangers are out, maybe they're not. I assume, Ron, you did. Dave, I don't know about you, but did you go out and celebrate these kind of big wins?
I mean, I remember when we beat the Islanders going out. We went, like, I only went to Studio 54 twice. And I remember the first time I was there, I go into what I thought was the men's room, right? And I'm like, oh my God, what in the world is going on in here? And then the second time was after we beat the Islanders. So, you know, again, I had my moments of, you know, we picked your moments and stuff. And that's why, again, I will say, and when Ron was working for the network, I'd be asked, like, are you hanging out with Ron? Are you partying with him? And I said, I couldn't do it when I thought I had game. So, no, he and my roommate was Donnie Murdoch, and I would hear the stories from Murder. So I guess I lived vicariously through both Duke and Donnie Murdoch. Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, Dave, one of the reasons why we were a tight-knit team is that we hung out together. I mean, I love the road trips. I mean, I had fun in New York City, but I love the road trips because then we got to hang out with the Merry guys, right? Because it was funny because you'd see them come into a home game and they would look a certain way. Then they go on the road, their best suits came out to go on the road. And it was just good hanging out with the older guys. We all be together. But what I'm trying to say is we came together as a band of brothers, and a lot of it had to do with going out. We all went to the same place. We all wanted to be together. There was no separation. So once the playoffs come, we felt, well, let's not change a thing, right? We didn't change a thing. At least I didn't. And it kind of hurt me towards the end when we went up against Montreal. by that time, you know, it kind of catches up to you. But more than anything, it's a way to get to know your brother on the team. And so we did a lot of that. And I think that's one thing that's kind of missing in today's game. So we had a lot of fun. That was one of the reasons why we went to the finals.
Yeah, no, it's no question. I mean, it's a different time now. It's a bigger business. And I respect how the guys go about their business. But I do, and, you know, oftentimes I think we had more fun. We didn't make as much money, but boy, oh boy, we sure had some fun doing it. It's great.
And it takes that kind of camaraderie and resiliency. And, you know, no quit in New York has been the you might have used these when you were drinking at Studio 54. You know, that's important when you're down 2-0, guys. And like half your mind's like, all right, I got to, you know, vacation to Cabo next week. Molly had to cancel her Memorial Day weekend trip because the Rangers are still in it. You know, half of you's checked out. Half of you's like, all right, let's try and come back. I think that's what's also made this Rangers team so special, from 3-1, from 2-0 now to 2-2. I imagine there were times you guys were down and part of you was thinking, man, this offseason is going to be nice. This next week's going to be nice. And the other half of you is thinking, all right, let's fight together and try to get back in this thing.
Well, I think Dave will tell you that once you get in a position to be able to win and you think you can win the Stanley Cup. When you've been on bad teams, you realize it's hard to get there. So when you're there, you want to do it when you can. And so I think when you're looking at the Rangers right now, I mean, no one thought they'd be in the Final Four. You know, they thought, you know, where they're at top six, top eight, yeah. But now they have an opportunity. They have a real opportunity if they stay healthy. Shesterkin stays healthy. They stay healthy to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's the opportunity's there right now. They beat Carolina. Next thing you know, yeah, they're going up against Tampa. But you just don't know. So the opportunity's there. You do not want to pass up on it and think, oh, it may happen some other year, because it's hard to get there.
Yeah, and I will say personally, I don't ever recall until I was out, until it was done, that we were done, you know. And I remember, you know, in the regular season when those teams in the mid to late 70s where we weren't very good, but we were growing, we had young guys. When it got to the end of the season, you knew you weren't being in the playoffs. But honestly, I don't ever remember thinking, oh boy, I can't wait to get to Cabo. You know, I really don't. I don't. And that was my particular wiring. And but it is. We talked off podcast about how much more fun it is winning. And I'll tell you, I defy anybody to think any different, because winning, I don't care how you win, how you got to do it, there is no better feeling than winning. Losing sucks. Winning's awesome.
Yeah, Dave, it just, when you said about Cabo, I remember Fort Lauderdale. I think it was after our first season, we decided, well, let's go down south. We end up in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know, there might have been four or five of us, and Mike McEwen was one of them. Q.
He came back paler than when he went down there.
I don't think he left his room.
Yeah, God knows.
And I don't want to get into what he was doing, but we had a blast. So we had fun playing. We had fun hanging out, and I'll never forget that trip because we did have a blast. Of course, Donnie Burdick was there, and he. we could get into stories right now, but
you've told a few of them from Studio 54 and Donnie Murdoch were. He did the old hand test and I don't even want to relay it again.
Well, I get a knock on the door on that place where we're staying, and it was this woman with a suitcase and she was coming in to see Donnie.
Yeah. It's a long beach, right?
Yeah. Anyways. We've had a lot of fun. So anyways, Dave, thanks a lot for joining us today. And
hopefully we can do it again and keep this winning thing going and keep up the good work. It's all good stuff.
Yeah, Dave, we'll catch you on the broadcast. Dave Maloney, MSG on Twitter, and Continental Fine Wines. If you're in Greenwich, go get a bottle or seven bottles with Dave there. Dave Maloney, thanks for coming on Up in the Blue Seats.
All right, guys. It's always fun. Keep up the good work.
I did. I said I'm not going to stop picking on you.
All right, Ronnie, that'll wrap up episode 91, the Sammy Blay edition of Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post. Ron, if they go to another round, maybe we see Sammy Blay back on the ice.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jake and Andrew, for producing the show. Another good one. Love Dave Maloney. You know, he's become a really, well, he's always been a good friend because we were teammates. We've been through a lot. And as we discussed, it was stuff on the ice and off the ice. Really, when you talk about being able to analyze the game, he's really good at it. So it was good to have him on the show. We miss Molly, though. But we understand she's going at it hard. But today, a lot of good stuff. Moving forward, we're going to see what the Rangers can do, if they can find a way to win in Carolina. They got to deal with the fans there, because you think the fans are loud in New York at the Garden. Carolina, it's really something else. And Jake, I know you're going to be there this week. If you have an opportunity, you may want to go to the game.
Yeah, well, I fly in Thursday, get in the afternoon. I don't think Thursday's going to happen, but I already informed my parents. I'm like, the problem is they share a car right now. So that's the thing. If they might be getting another car, so I'm hoping to get a second car and let me borrow it. I'll go alone. Like, I have a couple of friends in Raleigh, so might have somewhere to crash. But then I come back to New York Tuesday morning. So if there's a game 7, you know, I will find, for the sake of the podcast, I will find my way there. And I'll find Molly there in Raleigh. And if they make the next round, you know Molly's going to be pumped, because she's going to Tampa. She'll be chilling by the pool in 80-degree weather. No more hole-in-the-wall bars. She's going to Tampa. And we know there's a lot to do. She can see our good friend Phil Esposito. Hearts, your prediction, let's pray it comes true. I mean, I'm going to be pissed that I can't go to game 6, but shout out to my brother. Congrats to him for getting married this weekend. Got to go to that. I couldn't skip out for that for game 6. But Hearts, let's hope you get this right and they could close it out at home.
Look, it's just like last series where I said all you had to do is win one game in Pittsburgh. And the way the Rangers have played at home and the way that the Hurricanes haven't played on the road, it feels like the same exact thing. All you got to do is win one game in Carolina. Now, I hope it's going to be the next one and we could just move on and take care of business in game 6. But if they do win home in game 6, it's just one game in Carolina. And I have all the faith in the world, if Igor stays hot like he's been, we'll be able to get to the next round.
They might need more cowbell, like Ron texted us last night. Apparently you do have a cowbell, Hearts, but you did not bring it with us.
Listen, whenever we do a live show, and hopefully we'll be doing a live show soon, you will hear the cowbell in person. Bank on it.
Yes, Ron, you failed on our live show attempt, but if they make the next round, can you guarantee the listeners, Ron, if they make the Eastern Conference Final, and I hate that we're speaking ahead, but we got to think about it, because the next show will be after this round, so we'll be back with you on either Monday or Tuesday if there's a game 7. So, Ron, can you guarantee us, if there's an Eastern Conference Finals, we will do a live show in New York City?
I guarantee you we're going to do a live show. If they move on to the next round, I guarantee I will be there. We'll do the show. It's something we've been wanting and talking about. I've gotten so comfortable here in Florida, just sit in front of my television where things are nice and quiet, where I can actually watch the game. But I will be in New York to watch one of those games.
There's the guarantee. All right, well, coming up to end the show here, we will have some fan reactions from a big game 4. I like to go outside the Garden and see how the fans are feeling, because the city was buzzing. I mean, people are screaming, let's go Rangers. I like to walk down the stairs to hear the fans doing the chants down the stairs. Sometimes smells like cigarettes down there. People taking cig breaks because they're stressed from the game. But we're going to hear from the fans. For number 10, Ron Duguay, Andrew Hart, I'm Jake Brown. Make sure you catch up on all episodes of Up in the Blue Seats on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple. Write a nice review. Give us a 5-star rating on Spotify as well. All right, we'll end the show with the fans from you, including an interview with Dancing Larry, right here on Up in the Blue Seats. Peace.
Scott from Rockland County. This series is all tied up. How are you feeling about it?
They played great tonight. I was very pleased with everybody, especially Lindgren. I feel like Lindgren all series has been just ride or die. Like, that dude just sacrifices his body every night. I'm almost like worried, but he plays so hard. Lay the big hits, go for the puck. Rangers in 6. They bring the energy from the Garden to the next game.
What's your message to Tony D'Angelo?
Weak. He's weak. He says he doesn't get bothered by us, but he was clearly bothered by us tonight. Let's go Rangers, baby.
Pat in Long Island. Series is tied at 2. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. I think we got it. We're coming back. We have the momentum. Going back to Carolina, I think we're going to take it. Let's go, Rangers!
Dancing Larry, series is tied. How you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great. I am feeling really good. Even after we lost the first two games in Carolina, I thought the Rangers played great. They should have taken game one, but now it's a whole new series. Carolina is due for their first loss at home on Thursday night. Let's do it, and be nice to come back here and wrap it up Saturday, but you know what? Take it one game at a time, but we're back in the series. It's 2-2, and there's no reason why we cannot beat this team. If we could somehow find a way to win Thursday, I'm going Rangers in six back home here Saturday night at the Garden.
How long have you been Dancing Larry?
I've been Dancing Larry since 1996.
Can you give me the very quick story of how it started?
A friend of mine used to do the dance when the Rangers won the Cup in 94. One night he wasn't there. Strike It Up came on. This was 1996. I didn't want to get up and embarrass myself and do the dance. The next game, he wasn't there again. I did a little jig in front of my seat. I did the dance. The next game, he wasn't there again. We're talking back in 1996. And all of a sudden, while I'm dancing, I look up at the scoreboard and I was on the Garden Vision. And that's how the whole Dancing Larry thing was born.
What are your thoughts on Ron Duguay?
Ron Duguay is awesome, man. I always love Ron Duguay. He's the best. Let's go, Rangers!
Jake, what the heck are you wearing right now?
Wearing food. Like, that should be a sign that I need to lose weight.